Welcome back, producers. In this lesson, we're building something that can completely change the mood of a jungle tune. A drifting jungle pad for deep old-school DNB atmosphere in Ableton Live 12. And this is not just any pad. We're talking fog, motion, memory, tension. The kind of layer that makes chopped breaks feel like they're tearing through a haunted warehouse at 3 a.m. The pad is not the main character here. It's the scene. It's the air in the room. It's the thing you notice more when it disappears than when it's playing. So let's get into it. First thing, don't start by trying to make the perfect synth sound from scratch. In jungle, especially old school flavor jungle, a lot of the magic comes from working with something that already has a bit of soul. That could be the vintage style chord sample, a simple wave-eatable patch, or an analog instrument with a saw and triangle blend. If you're building it yourself, keep it simple. One oscillator can beat a saw, another can be a triangle or a slightly detuned saw. Don't go huge with the voices. You want movement, not a glossy super saw wash. Keep the filter low pass and fairly gentle. This is about mood, not brightness. Now, for harmony, minor and modal voicings are your best friend. D minor, E minor, F major 7, suspended shapes, those kinds of colors work really well. And here's an important jungle move. Don't stack giant piano-style chords unless the track really needs it. Three-note voicings are often enough. Root, 7th, 9th, or root, 5th, 7th. Leave space for the bass and the break. In DNB, space is power. Next, shape the sound so it drifts instead of just sitting there. That means slow attack, long release, and some gentle detuning. If you're in wave-eatable, try a few voices of unison, but keep the detune subtle. You want a little motion, not a pitch storm. Use the filter to darken the sound, and if there's an LFO or slow modulation source, let it gently move the wave-eatable position or filter cutoff over time. If you're using analog, even better. Slight detune, a little filter movement, and not too much resonance. Too much resonance can make the pad whistle and cut through in a way that feels wrong for jungle atmosphere. We want uneasy motion, not shiny trance. Now here's where the lesson gets more interesting, because this is an edits approach. We're not just designing a pad, we're editing it like part of the arrangement. Open the MIDI editor and make the pad feel like a performance, not a loop stamped into place. Program a 2-bar or 4-bar chord progression, then make little imperfections. Stagger the chord slightly. Let one note start a little late, maybe 10 to 25 milliseconds. Extend one note into the next bar. Shorten another note a touch. These tiny differences matter. They make the pad feel like a sampled loop breathing around the drums instead of a rigid synth block. That human wobble is a huge part of the jungle feel. Old school atmosphere often sounds alive because it's a little imperfect. If it feels too clean, too gridlocked, too exact, it starts losing that warehouse tape energy. Now let's take it further. Resample the pad to audio. This is a big one. Create an audio track, route your pad into it, and record a few bars of the evolving sound. Once it's audio, you can edit it like a real sample. Trim the best section. Add tiny fades so the clip doesn't click. If it already feels good, don't force warp on it. Let it breathe naturally. Then start making variations. Duplicate the clip and process each version differently. One can be darker and thinner. One can be a bit wider and wetter. One can have a reverse tail leading into a transition. This is where the pad starts speaking jungle language. You can even slice the resampled audio to a new MIDI track if you want to turn it into a chopped atmospheric instrument. That works beautifully for build sections, where the pad stops beating a static layer and starts behaving like part of the rhythm. Now let's build the tone chain. A really solid starting order is a Q8, saturator, autofilter, chorus ensemble or face or flanker, and then reverb. Optional echo can come in if you want extra depth, but use it carefully. Start with EQ8. High pass the pad somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz, depending on how much low end it has. The goal is to leave room for the kick and sub. If there's boxy buildup in the low mids, cut around 250 to 500 Hz. If the pad has a harsh edge, soften it a bit around 2 to 4 kHz, then add a little saturator. Just a small amount. 1 to 4 dB of drive is usually plenty. You're not trying to distort it into oblivion. You're adding a touch of thickness and a sampled, slightly compressed character. Then auto filter. This is one of your main movement tools. A low pass filter around 1.5 to 6 kHz can really help the pad stay dark and atmospheric. Automate the cutoff slowly across the arrangement. That slow open and close is what gives you drift. Then add chorus ensemble or a similar widening effect. Keep it moderate. The pad should feel wide in the upper layer, but the center should still exist. If you smear the entire thing too much, the mix gets cloudy fast. Then reverb. Long decay, maybe 3 to 8 seconds depending on the section. A little pre-delay can help keep the front edge defined. And if the reverb is sounding too bright, filter it. In jungle, dark reverb usually works better than glossy reverb. Now, since we're in Ableton Live, the advanced move is to put your key tone devices into an audio effect rack and map them to macros. Map filter cutoff, reverb amount, saturation drive, chorus depth, maybe even stereo width or low cut frequency. That gives you one clean place to perform the pad across the arrangement. And this is where the lesson really starts to feel like a tune, not a sound design exercise. Automate the pad over 8, 16, or even 32 bars. Slowly open the filter in the intro. Bring in a little more reverb before the drop. Push a bit more drive in a tension section. Then pull the width back when the drums and bass need the center to themselves. That's how you make the atmosphere support the track instead of fighting it. Also, don't forget returns. In DNB, returns are your secret weapon for depth. Keep the pan track controlled, and use a short room or plate on one return, a larger dark reverb on another, maybe a filtered tempo sync delay on a third. Send only what you need, then EQ the returns themselves, especially the reverb return. High pass the low mush, low pass the bright top. Clean the tail so it adds size without flooding the mix. That matters a lot, because your drums already need transient space. If the pad is washing over the snare crack or stepping on the kick-sub relationship, the whole groove loses impact. In jungle, clarity makes the atmosphere feel deeper, not weaker. Now let's talk arrangement, because this pad should not run unchanged for the whole tune. Think in sections. In the intro, keep it filtered and distant. Let it feel like it's coming through concrete and dust. In the pre-drop, open it up. Widen it, let the tails bloom. Maybe bring in a reverse tail or two. In the drop, thin it out or pull it back so the drums and bass can dominate. Then in the breakdown, bring the full atmosphere back and let it breathe. That contrast is everything. A jungle pad works best when it behaves like part of the energy curve. It should arrive, recede, and return. The best atmosphere is often the one you only fully notice when it's gone. Stereo control is another big one. Use utility to keep things disciplined. If you want width, make sure the low end stays out of it. High pass before widening. If needed, split the pad into two layers. Keep one layer darker and narrower for body. Keep the other brighter and more animated for air. Blend them together so the center stays solid and the top floats around it. And check mono often. If the pad disappears or gets weird in mono, back off the stereo width or reduce modulation depth. In jungle, some stereo instability is great. Too much of it and the groove starts falling apart. Before you call it done, do a final mix check. Make sure the pad isn't sitting too loud in the low mids. That 150 to 400 Hz area can get cloudy fast. If the pad feels too thick, thin it before turning it down. A thinner pad often feels deeper than a louder one. That's a really important mindset shift. If the sound still feels too polished, too synthetic, or too modern, resample it again through a gritty chain and bring it back as audio. A little tape-like instability, a little saturation, maybe even a touch of redux if it's subtle, can make it feel like a found sample instead of a pristine synth. Here's the big philosophy to keep in mind. The pad is a scene setter, not a bed that just sits there unchanged for 64 bars. In jungle, atmosphere is most effective when it moves quietly in the background and shapes the emotional space of the tune. So to recap the workflow, start with a dark harmonic source, make the voicing simple and spacious, add slow movement, edit the MIDI for human drift, resample to audio, shape it with stock Ableton effects, automate it across the arrangement, keep the stereo controlled, and always leave room for the drums and bass. If you want to push this even further, build three versions of the same pad, one for intro fog, one for breakdown bloom, and one for a drop ghost layer. Use the same source, process each one differently, and let them come and go depending on the section. That's a very strong old-school DNB arrangement approach. All right, that's your jungle pad drift. Deep, haunted, and moving just enough to keep the tune alive. Get it in, keep it dark, and let the breakbeats cut through the mist.